I don't know, man. I mean, I'm kind of sad.
Hello, this is them David Simon and Nina Noble. We are the executive producers of The Wire, the show on HBO. A few of you may have seen it. This is episode one of season three. The theme of this season was reform and the potential for reform. Not only political reform, but social reform and personal reform. And we were looking at the idea of a police commissioner, a renegade police commissioner, who would legalize drugs within his precinct. Every season, if you look at the first scene of every season, it is, in fact, a metaphor for the entire season, as was this. We were using the idea of a housing project being demolished, presumably for a new and more vibrant Baltimore, as being a metaphor for reform. And we were taking a glancing blow as well at the idea of the post-911 world. There is also in this season a drug war that occurs between the established Barksdale family, the Barksdale gang, and a new insurgency run by Marlo Stanfield that was a metaphor, again, for Iraq. So there was a lot going on. You basically need to take very careful notes and voluminous notes and maybe a couple postgraduate courses, or you just got to watch carefully, one of the two.
Yeah, it's interesting. Every season we have some of our established characters, like here we have Bodie and Poot, and we revisit where they've been and where they're going. And then we have our new characters this year. Glenn Turman as Mayor Royce.
Right, marrying the old to the new.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a philosophy.
Shit, man, no matter how many times you get burnt, man.
And again, in order to address the idea of a police commander doing such a outrageous thing as legalizing drugs, you needed to create a political dynamic. And so we needed to finally meet the mayor and the people who might be arrayed against him politically.
Shit, I feel like I don't got no home now. Housing just moved your mom up to Poplar Road, didn't it?
Obviously, the metaphor here is if you go back and listen to the dialogue, which we have just talked over, the commentary on Poot continually getting the clap and continually doing the same things so he has to go back to the clinic and get treated for the clap. Is made symbolic of our own political logic and the fact that we just keep voting for the same stupid shit. Exactly.
All right, everyone, count with me.
You know, how did Baltimore react when you told them you wanted to blow up a couple buildings? They'll let you do anything. This is your town, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think it. Once you watch this this building blowing up, it's pretty realistic, you know, and the people did a good job of reacting, but actually this was all done in post-production. It was computer-generated demolition. Those buildings are still standing over there on the west side of Baltimore. The seniors would not have appreciated it if they had blown up their building.
No. They'll let us do certain things in this town, but...
The smoke was ours.
Okay, that's reform. How do you like it? Theme song this year, the Neville Brothers. The song is always Tom Waits is Down in the Hole, but every year a different artist, which suggests that every year tonality and the content of the show change. Same show, different story.
We've incorporated some shots to suggest the themes of the new season within the title sequence.
Right. There are certain signature shots that we're going to keep for the run.
Mm-hmm.
He got fired in a fury at his command.
All those phone numbers you just saw, they all have to be cleared, don't they? You know, they have to be cleared legally. What would happen if, say, we used some numbers and it turned out they weren't cleared?
Well, yeah, that's right. That means that someone would be getting a lot of phone calls from fans of the show.
That's right. So
sometimes we learned last year that sometimes even though we reserve phone numbers, they're not reserved forever. And so 100 years from now, those phone numbers might not even be cleared.
Right.
I don't know.
Since DVDs last forever.
That's right. Just, you know, keep calling those numbers and tell your grandchildren to call those numbers, and eventually you might reach somebody. Might be Stringer Bell. You never know.
It might be. I love the guy on the bike. I love that guy.
We had to fight for him.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
Fuck. I stepped in dog shit.
You hope.
Here we are in a real Baltimore row house.
It was vacant.
Doesn't exist on any Hollywood backlot.
Right. It was filled up with actual garbage and actual dog shit and actual vile smells.
And fleas.
And fleas. And we emptied all that out and cleaned it and then put in our own vile stuff and fake dog shit and fake fleas.
That's right.
No fleas, actually, but if we needed fleas, they would have been fake.
Right.
Or trained.
Animatronic.
Animatronic fleas. You know what? You know what a vacant Baltimore row house would cost on a set in Los Angeles? I researched this actually.
Really? More than $2,500?
$4.2 million.
Really?
Yeah. It'd be able to fly, but you know.
Saddle up and put another bat on, motherfucker.
Settle up and put another bat. But what was that last part?
Gold Coast slave ship pound for cotton fields.
He need to deal with me today, or I'm gonna take it to someone who can handle him.
Girl, you do have an ear.
See, another cleared number. Thank God we get that right. We'd be in so much trouble.
You looking to get with him?
All right.
Same thing as before?
Same thing I tell him.
All right.
Who is it? It's Method Man.
Yep.
When Method Man shows up on set, what do you call him?
Do you
say Method?
Method.
Do you do?
Yeah. Some people call him Mr. Man.
Mr. Man?
Yeah.
See, I can't go with Mr. Man. Mr. Man sounds, you know, I'm trying to be respectful, but I'm also trying to, like, be halfway down, you know, so.
Well, what's his real name? Derek?
You know, I don't want to go there either.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to say Method. You know what I say when I see him coming? Hey! That's what I said. Yeah. I admit it's weak, but
three
best
months.
I can do. Anyway, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
And a pro.
And Herc takes the alley to cut that off from Calhoun.
So me and Truck go up the wrong way on Stricker Street?
You got a badge, remember?
And we're doing the same one block over, so they can't.
I love when we can stay wide. Not on a shot is, for a long period of time. I love how this is sort of semi-backlit. I just love how long we stayed wide.
But fuck him. We let him go and jack every other motherfucker who stays. Let's mount up.
Bob.
Sorry.
He's a complicated man. And the only one that understands him is his woman.
True that.
Seek therapy.
See, and this could have backfired so badly, the sequence. But these guys did a great job with the song.
The song is the comedic glue that holds the scene together.
She hands up against the wall. Later, son. Step light.
Uh-oh.
Is that the stage? Oh, fuck!
That's not what we meant.
Let's go! Cut him off on Stricker!
Ben Bush.
Yes, Ben Bush. Major Ben Bush. Veteran of two tours in Iraq. He just got back, so he can start filming season 4. He was in Ramadi.
I got Calhoun.
Which is different from Baltimore in that... Wait, it's not like West. It's more like East Baltimore.
I think he didn't have to go to makeup and hair before he went to work in Iraq.
That's right.
Different.
Lost him. Rear Stricker, 800 block.
Clear on rigs.
Oh. I like that shot. You guys really did a lot of good work while I was sitting in the trailer trying to write episode 2 that season. When I came out and looked at this thing assembled, hey. Actually, we shot about 5 extra minutes of the chase. Like, if we put all the pieces of the chase sequence together, it was 5 minutes longer.
I'm like, that's right.
I'm lying, I'm dying. And it just turned, you know, HBO said, I think correctly so. It was a note they gave us, it was good. It was like, guys, this is going on a little while, you know. But what we were trying to build here was almost a Baltimore answer to the apocalypse. Now the scene where Robert Duvall wants his soldier to, wants to have Lance surf Charlie's Point, and he napalms an entire tree line and attacks a village to take the surfing point away from the Viet Cong.
Mm-hmm.
And although we're not going shot to shot with that logic, obviously, and it's not as grandiose, the same logic applies. The over-stimulated police response to one kid running with one bag of dope.
There's Seth Gilliam.
We do not lose! And we do not forget! And we do not give up! Ever!
So you've seen a... you've seen canine units, marked units, the helicopter, unmarked units, all pursue a kid that they're now going to have to search the weeds for another 2 hours. But if you make us go into welcome to the American drug prohibition.
How many cops do you think would like to do what Seth's doing right now?
Many of them in Baltimore do, but they're often, like, you know, in their basements with a beer in their hand. We sure told him.
With these towels down,
we got more. The rest of them low rises. We got more laughter out of this Robert's Rules of Order thing.
Take him. Take him how, Mr. Bodie?
You say fucking and take him.
Nigga, you ain't got the floor. Chair ain't recognize your ass. Take him how?
I don't know. Just let them fed niggas know. You know, we serious, right?
Three-year theme of Stringer Bell was somebody arriving or working his way up in an industry that was in some ways very violent and anti-rational, and he was trying to rationalize it and make it coherent and conforming to nothing more irrational than Adam Smith's or the rules of Keynesian economics.
Turn the economics classes, business classes.
Product. Chair recognized Slim Jones.
A little bit of education is a dangerous thing. Chair.
There's N1 Glover.
Got to stand somewhere, don't it?
It's great.
I mean, all the product in the world don't mean nothing if you're constantly getting your ass whipped for standing on another fool's corner.
When N1 would move his
shells in his dreads
would sometimes, you would hear them. And it was so enjoyable to us that I think the editors took to sweetening it, so that sometimes when he would move his head, if they didn't hear the dreads, they would actually add it sound-wise.
Half the real estate, twice the product. And our profit went up like 8-9%. Yo, get it straight. Your territory ain't gonna mean shit if your product is weak. Go ahead and ask them motherfuckers.
Time to give Idris credit for a great 3-year run.
You got niggas riding around in Japanese and German cars in America all day. Territory ain't shit. Especially when you consider it's the fight for the territory that we bring in.
We took great care in writing the character, but he then brought it home, I have to say.
Yeah, but how we gonna stand?
Yo, she ain't recognize your ass, man.
How we gonna stand on some...
Come on, man.
How we gonna stand on some corner that's not ours?
Well, we got the best product, right? So the chances are we gonna be able to bring in the competition by offering the re-up with us from our package. Feel me? Everybody making money sharing the real estate. Slim Charles.
But what if they don't cop our re-up though?
Well, I'm gonna worry about that when it happens.
The thing I have to say about Slim Charles is, Mr. Charles, is there a more real guy in this movie? I'm not sure.
Sell the shit, make the profit.
He's just
totally that gangster bullshit.
Yeah.
N1 is a go-go like singer D.C., go-go being the opera and R&B form of the last 25 years in Washington.
You're ignorant to have the fucking floor. Y'all niggas need to start looking at the
world. A lot of people probably don't realize how British Idris is in real life. I mean, he did a great job with his
corner. You heard me?
With his accent.
It's not even fair that he's British. I mean, you know, he can get any girl in the room just by being Idris and doing it in the Baltimore way. He throws in the English accent. It's like it's a joke already. Come on, stop. It's not fair.
True, and he didn't even take off his shirt at this point, did he?
No, no. He's like playing with it. He's like playing with half the... He gets dealt half the cards, and he wins the hand. It's just not even fair.
Nice look on you.
Dress for success. Oh, I watched that motherfucker Cheese take re-ups, move weight all day, and not once did he go near a fucking telephone. Close as it comes is a call to a hanger on cell phone 10 feet away.
Which brings me back to what I was just discussing with the lieutenant. So far, we've been up on some of these cell phones for nearly 6 months. The only drug talk we have is from street-level small fry.
So the feeling is that maybe...
We knew we were going to pair Roman and Daniels this season. And so these first scenes before it actually happened, we were trying to create a sense of... camaraderie of two people who are growing closer on the job. She's the one who picks up on the fact that he's out of the house, that a lot of his stuff is in boxes or flying around the office.
Level or two above the street, we're going to start seeing Prop Joe himself.
She's staying, you know, it's obviously a late night scene, and yet they're in the office talking business. There's another later look in this episode when they're sort of standing in the squad room where you sense some sexual tension between them.
So you must be Castor.
Yes, sir. Officer Aaron Castor.
You any kin to Lloyd Castor?
Yes, sir. It's my uncle.
That's a shout out to the real Lloyd Castor. He used to be a detective in CID Narcotics.
Do you know who you are?
We knew we wanted Robert Wisdom for this role. Right. We first encountered him reading for a part, the part of Blue, in the corner. And as it turned out, that didn't come off. He was not part of that production, but I did remember what a strong read he gave, not only on tape, but on callback. And Bob and I kept him in mind, and I know you remembered him, you know, from then when we were thinking of how to cast that show.
Right.
And so We actually put him in a cameo as the Western District Commander in season 2. I think it's episode 7 or 8. Or he comes to the scene of that shooting where the bystander has been killed in his bedroom by the stray bullet. We knew where we were going third season. We knew we wanted him to play this signature role. Just a wonderful actor. And the corner, for those of you keeping score, was a six-hour miniseries.
Filmed in Baltimore in 1999. Aired in 2000.
Won a bunch of Emmys. I believe it's available on DVD.
I think it is.
I think it is, too.
And some of our actors, Clark Peters, Corey Parker Robinson, who are in The Wire, also right. You can see in the corner in very different roles.
Very different roles.
Yep.
In fact, we sort of had a rule, actually a casting rule, early on.
That's right.
What was our rule?
That's right. If you played a cop on the corner, you couldn't be a cop in The Wire. You had to be a drug addict or drug dealer. Right.
And the opposite was true. If you played a bad guy or a street guy in the...
really messed up some of the actors' heads, I think,
it did.
For a while.
It did. To say nothing of our local casting.
That's right. Director. That's right. Pat Moran is our local... casting director. Pat's an institution here in Baltimore. She's worked with John Waters and just been here for years. And some of the people are actors that come to our office. And we've always insisted on a lot of real people, people from the city who are not traditionally trained actors. Coming into Pat. Everybody has to read for Pat, you know, at some point or another if you want to work on the show.
Right, and since the size of the cast on The Wire has grown to the point where I think there's about a 1-to-1 ratio between the population of Baltimore and our cast, everyone eventually will be played by somebody on The Wire. And so when you say everybody has to come and read for Pat, you're not kidding, are you?
Unless you read for Alexa.
Right. You can read.
Alexa Fogel's our
but you're going to be in the show,
New York.
You're going to be playing somebody in the show somewhere. But, you know, by the time we get to fifth season.
There won't be anyone left.
No, that's it. We're done. No, we're going to run out of people. What's this town? 600,000? Yeah. I think I got half of them in the movie already.
I think so. You know, and that's the other rule we have is that once you're in The Wire and you're established, even if you're a one-day player, if you're established as a character, then you're...
You can't come back as somebody else. That's right.
Right. You can't come back as a politician once you've been a drug fiend.
Yeah. Well, wait, that... we can actually write that.
That one could... Okay.
But you'd have to be the same drug fiend, like, running for office.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have to stay in your district.
It has to be Council Manning.
Hey, after this young man, we got to move past Kmart.
Definitely. One last question, Commissioner. Looking back over the past...
This is the real Baltimore City Council chamber.
Felony breakdowns correctly. You've been seeing an uptick in shootings and serious assaults.
Shooting anymore? Can we assume that now built it on set?
You can only hope.
Let me throw that over to
anything gets the wire, anything can happen.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure he's got a handle on our response. I do indeed.
Councilman Thomas J. Carchetti is not modeled on Martin O'Malley. I say that unequivocally. I say it on the record. I say it time and
again. Did anybody think that? Additionally, we've
put the district flexible. Time and time again, it would keep creeping into the local papers that he was a surrogate. And like everybody else on The Wire, he contains, the character contains elements of real people, but often real people mixed up 10 and 15 times over.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying it. The more I say it, people believe me less.
Irv. Hey, you don't mind? I'd like to get with you about a couple things. Can we get lunch?
Glad to, Mr. Chairman.
How about Werner's in half hour?
Half hour. You see Watkins in the back?
Yeah. Who was that skirt with him?
That's him there in the orange. That's Drac.
Oh, there's Drac.
There's Drac.
Our last best hope.
Talking this motherfucker I ever
you sure
heard
it's Drac?
On a wire tap.
I don't know. Should we put some graffiti near him that says it's Drac? Should we also say he's wearing an orange shirt?
Yeah, it might help.
Let's go close on him. Now let's hear his voice. We're joking because one of the struggles in the first episode is to try to make everybody understand who everybody is. It's a very complicated show. It's very furtive, much like surveillance. And so you're in situations where if you explain everything, you ruin it. And yet, here, now we have a picture of him.
There were a lot of people who were confused.
Yeah. So we put as many cues as to what was going on in the story, names, visual imagery as we possibly could.
Which is funny because Drac, you know, ultimately didn't matter this season.
Right. This is all just trying to make it make sense within one episode.
Yeah.
Hey, people, sometimes we need a scorecard. You know what I'm saying?
20 and 2.
Now this line works.
Y'all know he ain't got pants.
Because he doesn't look up.
And there's Dominic standing
the guy looks
by.
Up, he ruins the joke.
When he finally gets up to meet
building
the president, who's
blocks of
the
comedy,
way,
people. Building blocks of comedy.
Grabs his belt, yanks it up.
Secret Service mother shit.
He says, hey, Mr. President, remember me? And Carter actually remembers, says, sure, Dominic DePietro from Baltimore on the campaign trail. And Dominic doesn't miss a beat. He puts a finger in Jimmy Carter's face and says, so where's the money you promised me 3 years ago to fix up my streets and alleys?
Unbelievable.
That's nothing. After losing to Reagan, Carter comes back here to speak at a Jefferson Jackson dinner or something, and Dominic is ushered up to him. Carter asks about his health, and Dominic says, you son of a bitch, I'm still waiting on that money for my streets and alleys.
Come on.
No shit. Carter's just grinning through those big teeth. Some guy grabs Dominic's arm, and off he goes. Guy says, Christ, Dominic. He just called the president of the United States an SOB. He shrugs. He says, fuck him. I don't need him. He lost.
No, that's good. That is good.
And that is from whence I come, proud son of the fighting First District. But the truth is, I don't want to be just another Muldoon like Dominic DePietro, warm in the backbench. Not with the way things are right now in the city. We're losing 12,000 residents a year. And when you ask them why they're moving to the county, you know what they say?
Schools.
And crime. Schools and crime. And there goes our tax base right across the line. And the mayor's acting like a 10% bump in the murder rate is business as usual.
Check, please.
You know what? If you were smart, you'd come to me when the mayor shorts you on hiring, on equipment, on overtime, on cars. You get the shit end of the stick. You come
nice to
me.
See Frankie Burrell out of the office.
He's often just
use that subcommittee to give you what you need.
Trapped in that commissioner's suite.
Yeah.
Kind offer.
Irv, I can help you. And we can turn this
but
thing
long
the city
ago,
around.
When I was just starting out into the department, I had the good fortune to
we
be...
We love to see themes go between seasons.
And right now...
And continue throughout the run of the show and be consistent about that. And one of the great sort of fundamental themes of the police chain is chain of command. So the idea that he would invoke it to a politician...
Leave a tip if you want.
To parry away Porchetti. Mm-hmm. We love the use of the phrase chain of command because how much it featured in the first season.
So what do you need to see me for?
Where did we film this, right? Lena?
Yeah. This was fun. We took a couple field trips to Lorton to get these prison scenes.
I know what be first.
Closed down prison.
South of Washington, above Richmond.
You know, Night at the Best Western.
You guys were roughing it. Bob was roughing it, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I did get him a bottle of Pinot Grigio from the 7-Eleven across the street. Had to make sure I got down there before 10 when they closed.
Good time. You only got the one day
I think
left.
There'll be other places this season on the DVDs to speak to, especially episode 3. But this is the first episode of The Wire that you and I had to do without Bob. Bob Causbury, our but it's three. It's not partners. It's
trio.
Trio. And he passed away in between season 2, season 3, during complications from surgery. And he was the creator of the visual template of the show, and we felt obliged to not only obliged, we really wanted to try to sustain what he had tried to do with the show visually and to carry it on. It's not easy, you know. You sometimes you figure out everything that somebody is contributing when they're not there anymore. It's one of those you miss your water when the well's dry. And
shit is fixed right. Luckily, he had all those yellow pads. That's what saved me in those first couple of weeks. Bob wrote down everything. He was so meticulous.
Yeah.
I knew every how he thought and what he felt about every scene, every director. I mean, everything. Right. It was great.
Right. He was nothing if not prepared. I never saw him go into a scene without diagrams and shot lists and. Right, when you were looking to hire directors for third season, Bob had ventured an opinion on just about everything in order, right?
Yeah, I mean that was a strange thing. I had a couple people calling me and saying, you know, Bob said he was going to hire me this year. If it weren't for those pads, I'd have no way of knowing if they were lying or not.
Man left behind notes. It really was a pleasure, not just this, but the corner.
Yeah,
working with him.
We had the 20, you know? We had to go buy some pants. But so if you just take the short money, we'll get back at you tomorrow, man. We'll get you on the comeback.
All right, new pants.
So we want 2 for $16.
I'm trying to get two, man. This young motherfucker.
He had this idea of his character, Boo, that had the inhaler. Which is a real thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of asthma in the inner city.
But for a kid to play that without having asthma... It's a little
it didn't quite work the way we wanted, I have to say.
At these prices, I can't afford more phone surveillance.
I'm aware of that. And right now, the plan is to go for hand-to-hand on one lieutenant a couple rungs down from Proposition Joe.
And then roll the lieutenant up?
It's amazing how symbiotic a production is. Somebody comes up with an idea, and if it's a good one, the other departments roll with it. We walked into Burrell's dressed set of an office when he was deputy commissioner, and there were all those golf trophies. And I remember Vince Peranio, the art director, saying he just saw this as being maybe something Burrell couldn't what have makes differently. You think they'll promote the wrong and man. We all looked at him, we looked at the trophies, and it just was like, yeah.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
3 years later, he's gripping a 9-iron.
Look, speaking of promotions, I sent yours over to the hall as promised. And?
Well, the mayor's holding it up. My understanding is he wants to know what your wife is doing.
My wife?
Yeah. There's a rumor that she's going to take a run at the council seat. Maybe try to knock off Yanetta Perkins.
Well, that's my wife's business.
Yes, it is.
There's but a the wonderful inside joke here running through the season, which is Marla Daniels ends up running against an incumbent councilman from West Baltimore named Yanetta Perkins. The big rap on Yanetta is that she barely shows up for work anymore. She's an absentee councilman. We don't actually see Yanetta Perkins.
No, we just see her nameplate.
We see her nameplate at various meetings. She's never there. We never actually encounter her until the last, one of the last scenes of episode 13.
That's right.
She'll turn up. When is she supposed to bring him over to you?
Middle of the fourth.
Dad, can I have a hot dog?
Yeah, as soon as the guy comes around.
That's the most real moment in the movie.
This is quite interesting. I think they gave us one day.
Yeah.
You know, there was one day within our schedule and we could have this.
Oh, there they are.
Right, when we could get in for a home game.
Oh, damn. They got great seats.
And I think it was Wendell who requested a kid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wendell said, I should take one of my kids there to the game. And we ran around at the last minute. We got Bunk Jr. That was just such a wonderful little moment.
Comes to an Orioles game in a suit, spends half the time on a cell phone.
Downtown lawyer. Something wealthy like that.
Wish we had more of it.
Long way to go if I have a shot.
It'll be better tomorrow, Bubs.
Well, God, don't think we're talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't shit. Today, Johnny. Today. I hunted down all that metal, lugged it around like a dog. And nearly get killed over a scratch of metal so that I gotta beg for my life. Lost my trousers, man, my fucking trousers. And then I'm begging again for half a shot.
What's going on with that lighting? Nina?
Day, is it night? It's hard to say.
I guess it's that sodium vapor glow.
It's Baltimore orange.
Just missed a foul pop.
Yeah?
Our seats are great. We're practically on the field.
Yeah, my friend Dennis, he gets company seats around.
Where are you seating?
My great regret is that I was not able to work an anti-Yankee joke.
No, you guys go. Your dad hasn't seen you all week. Now,
I hate the Yankees.
Take your jackets off because Sean's just getting over a cold, okay?
Jimmy, right? Dennis Kirby.
And here we have the boyfriend who's great so kids. Unlike McNulty in every way that he can't, nice he just can't possibly compete.
Anything from the stand?
But McNulty was intimidated in some way, just with somebody so different.
He's like, I don't get it. Well, it's like this, Jimmy. He has a job, and he doesn't drink, and he doesn't fuck around. Is that it? The real ex-police commissioner in Baltimore. Many know the tale.
In two different directions, just off the curb.
And his big line is coming up.
Yeah.
Shooting on the west side.
Another one. Christ, where?
North and Pulaski. Cole's up.
Ah. Cole's working at cutting off Belvedere. Call Crutchfield, see if he's back from the Westport scene. If not, call Bunk at home.
That voice on the other end of the dispatch.
Hey, fuck his off day.
Here it comes.
Love this town.
Another interesting thing, even though Detective Cole, being Bob Colesbury, was dead, you know, that we kept him alive for a little
right.
while.
That's right.
He was out there.
Well, we were planning a big send-off for him in mm-hmm. episode 3.
Mm-hmm. So nobody knew where he was for a while. Man.
Office. Yeah. I'm at the ball game. The ball game. Yeah, what about Cole? Call him. All right. Can you believe this? They caught five tonight. They're telling me I got to come in on my day
off. Kids have the sleepy look of late innings, don't they?
Five. City's jumping bad, man. Okay, listen. I got to go to work, all right?
All right.
Mr. Jimmy's going to... Ooh! He's going to take it home.
I'm sorry, that's a little bunk. I don't care who his natural parents are. He belongs to Wendell now.
Yeah.
The risk of doing a scene like that is that you never know who's going to be on the Orioles by the time the thing airs in September. You know, between free agency and trades and who knows. I love this shot. This is what was at stake. This is the Baltimore that... I mean, I love row houses, and if you're from around here, you know that they've destroyed and gutted and bulldozed a lot of the vacant ones. And even though they're vacant, you just want to think that one day they're all going to come back, and it's just so sad. The city's been emptied of people.
And there's so much care and work that went into them. You can see the craft of them when you go in.
That gray stuff on top of the red brick there on those two row houses, that's formstone. For those of you that have seen the movie Tin Men by Barry Levinson, that's the real stuff those guys were selling.
Because,
you know, you got to protect your brick. Your basic red brick, it's vulnerable. You got to put some brick over top of the brick.
Take your time, Major.
Can you believe that cocksucker Carcetti thinking I'm a...
Comstat is a real management technique that has invaded the halls of law enforcement. It began in New York. And has since moved around the country. I guess if you're in favor of it, what it tries to do is teach accountability and make everybody specifically accountable for territory and for posts and precincts.
No, sir. Three of those cases were...
It's also a form of brutalizing your underlings and keeping them in terror.
God damn it, Marvin. Did you just
invoke
the word
a good job
responsibility
of it.
Oh, God.
To explain why you didn't get on top of this shit?
Did I'd you like to have Bill Rawls as a father.
I don't think you know what the word means. When I look at the 24s and plainly see that some 38 caliber asshole is raping your entire district, all the way from Greenmount to fucking Edison Highway. It's policing like that that makes it possible for us to get hit with five fucking homicides in a single fucking night, people.
Our assistant director had a cameo when we had all men show up, and somebody realized it at the last minute. We needed a female officer.
That's right. I believe her. It's even better. I've seen her in command, too.
Because we don't want to be forcing this.
I've been stroking this guy for 2 months, man.
That's not what he asked you.
This guy's ripe and ready, Caleb. It ain't no thing.
About ready.
This is one of those moments where we're trying to hint at something coming, but
we
try to be really subtle with it, not take the scene farther than it should go. So she notices he's living out of the office, and then the button out of this when they leave the office, when the team leaves the office, is the implied moment of two people a little awkward around each other because they're feeling something. I love moments like that, you know? You don't pay them off until you're ready to pay them off.
Nah, man, ain't nothing light. It's just settled is all.
Wait, man, if it does what it should, I'm going to come back to you for 3, maybe 4 weeks.
Yeah, that could work.
We good then?
We good.
That's it.
Take him down.
The reason we didn't show you all the adventure of putting the guns in them and putting them on their knees and police, is that the cops show and every other police drama has ruined that. We have no interest in
Shut the fuck up.
In that which is the grist for the cop drama. We really don't. Not because we're superior, we're just determined not to make a hit show.
I could have shot this in a pretty nice part of Bolton Hill. I think we
Miss Cardi.
brought the dumpster in there to try to help sell the.
That was our dumpster. I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to shoot this in a nice area because of some scheduling conflicts. We actually had a real messed up area for it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did originally.
Yeah, over by the American Brewery. Has anyone noticed that in her spare time she's always clipping coupons? No. Another consistent detail.
For 2 weeks.
We think about this stuff, people. We spend hours thinking about this stuff.
Let's just hope we're listening to a candidate for elevation.
It's just hard to go home again, huh?
Yeah. And whenever you see country, he's always listening to 70s soul.
I heard about you, man. You know,
he's old school.
Your name used to ring out. You got something for me? That's where Shorty's sitting at right there. You'll find a little help. But when you're ready...
The actor that plays Shamrock, Richard Burton, works for City Hall. Runs the Mayor's Believe campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know it when we hired him, right? We weren't trying to goof on anything. Absolutely not. Cuddy can't believe they just left it out in the open there for him, but...
In addition to Bob, just looking at this, I see the work of Uta Brischholz, our director of photography. I think something that people notice about the show is how different it looks. In the teaser, you just have this idea that you've spent a lot of time with these characters, and even though not every line is on camera, you really have a sense of the place and of the relationship between the guys, and I think she really created this with the camera being part of it.
Absolutely. I heard you describe it one time as being that the camera's kind of like slithering, like a snake in the grass kind of. It doesn't make grandiose moves. It doesn't fish for things that may or may not be there. It's not the swish pan of documentary type feel, but it is moving. It's a subtle suggestion of trying to find its way in and through a scene that I just thought, you know, if she created that template along with Bob, she deserves a lot of credit.
This was the Ashburton house. The Daniels have had a few different homes.
Ashburton is an upper-middle-class neighborhood, predominantly African-American, in Baltimore City. And I mention that because if you watch The Wire and you just keep looking at the sections of East and West Baltimore where we do a lot of our work, you might not think it was, you know... Jesus. You live in Butcher's Hill and I live in Federal Hill, and it's both in Baltimore City.
Right? That's true.
So the city's actually very varied, and there are reasons to live here. I swear, you can come and you can bring your kids. You just have to watch them really carefully.
Well, you think the mayor might respect my shit enough to let me step up, but it ain't even go like that.
Why not?
You gonna give a boss corner to that old brand nigga cheese? And you know what? Joe's my uncle and shit. I mean, I'm kin to the fat motherfucker.
That idiot works for us. He'd be a deputy commissioner by now.
Ain't no luck at all to this case.
And how, in all good conscience, can I, as chairman of this subcommittee, authorize any more above the line?
Let's come down.
It's clear enough from the data in front of me that money is not going to go to line officers or working detectives, but has been used to pay for drivers and clerical and Jesus, look at this. So the two colonels and three majors can attend a community policing seminar in Miami, Florida.
Mr. Chairman.
What does South Beach have to teach this department about making Baltimore a safer place, Commissioner? I have no idea, and you have
Rawls.
No idea, and it is an embarrassment.
John Doman is just, even in React, John Doman is fun to
Cedric,
watch.
They're gone.
That's a tough couch to sleep on, I gotta tell you.
I want to thank you for this.
No problem.
It's not easy, I know. But they seem to think it matters that I present myself as...
I'm fine with it. All those years you were all about my career? Well, it's the least I can do, right?
Damn, that's cool.
Good night.
Yeah. He's going out through the back door.
Hey, who blocked that shot?
We're not holding anything up in this district. Repaving,
foot patrols, street lights.
On set for season three. He's getting his mayor's office.
Beautiful.
Unless
Vince
it's not
did
about
a great job
district.
With this.
It's about him. Maybe he's got big eyes for something.
When the show wraps, do I get like this whole, all the furniture and everything?
Not me, not
the chairs
my
and the law books.
Not in this town.
Can you set up those flats in my house?
Any whiter, he'd be seen.
Sure, no problem.
But if that's it, come on with
it. Bring it right
in fact,
over.
Please, Jesus. Or maybe John the Baptist. Soften you up for someone else. And if he's going to bang us on crime.
Bang me on crime. Look, is there any way for you to talk to this guy? Keep him from crawling up my ass?
He's old First District. Not a lot of favors we can call in over that side of town.
Well, we've got a show
this was the season where we tried to create the political world and add that to the Wire universe. And it was necessary because only the political world could render a verdict, maybe an inevitable verdict, on Colvin's, on the experiment that the Western District Commander, Arnie Colvin, was going to undertake to legalize drugs.
275, maybe.
And one thing I don't like about traditional television drama is when there's somebody who their motives are unexamined and they're really not there in the story except to render a verdict. They're just the big bad evil mayor or the big bad evil police commissioner, and you're not really examining the forces at work on them. The Wire goes to great pains to try to make everybody's motives and humanity intact.
District by district will decline by 5% before the end of the year.
We are dealing in certainties. You will reduce the UCR felonies by 5% or more, or... And I've always wanted to say this. Let no man come back alive.
In addition, we will hold this year's murders to 275 or less.
Christ.
Feeling a little phased, Colonel Forster? A little dyspeptic?
This who? No, sir. I'm good to go.
Here's a fun fact for you people. If Baltimore had New York's population, we'd be clocking 4,000 murders a year at this rate.
That's
there
true.
Is no excuse I will accept. I don't care how you do it. Just fucking do it.
Deputy, as familiar as we all are with the urban crime environment, I think we all understand there are certain processes by which you can reduce the number of overall felonies. You can reclassify an ag assault, or you can unfound a robbery, but... how do you make a body disappear?
I once had a somebody in law enforcement say to me, "There are damn lies. There are lies, damn lies, and police statistics."
You will shut up and step up. Any of you who can't bring in the numbers we need will be replaced by someone who can.
That is all.
Wow, I'm scared of him, and he's like in the TV.
I got into you. 6 months to my 30. I'm out the door on a major's pension. What the hell they can do to me?
Spider bag. Red top.
Nina? Fashion question on that tracksuit he's got on? That blue velour, whatever that thing is?
Yeah, that's something he had in his closet before he went to prison.
Yeah. 15 years will do a lot to you, fashion-wise, won't it?
Back to Grandma's basement, and that's what was there. That cutty's so cool, it hardly matters.
That's right.
We got fruit in the Kangol.
Any other bright ideas?
How about a bug?
A bug?
Yeah, a bug, one or two of the big corners where these mopes hang. I'm watching those corners over on Ashley.
Here's the donut scene.
Yes. Will she eat the donut?
We had to pay her a lot to eat the donut, actually. We had to pay her.
She doesn't really eat the donut. We scripted that...
She wanted to.
We scripted that Perlman was going to eat the donut.
Say we come down off the wire,
she was
caressing
it.
She had decided that no donut would pass her lips. All right, we've come away. A normal person would have taken a bite of that donut in this time. No shot. Yeah, maybe a sip of coffee first.
There's other fish in the barrel, McNulty.
String is the target. There isn't a better fucker out there. You know it, Lieutenant. But don't you let him go soft on this.
She never took
the
bite of that
donut.
Not Rich.
What the fuck did I do?
That's the 11th time that line's been used by McNulty thus far.
fuck off, motherfucker. You got
between
a need,
that hat to one of the and that jogging suit, there's a lot of fashion like right violation going on here.
Yeah, and the hat was just an accident because Brandon Fobbs plays another one that people confused with other actors.
Right, there was a worry that since he was being he and Marlo were being introduced in the same episode, we should give one a hat.
G Pack.
But why not sell that shit to your own self?
Yeah, I just came home. I'm trying to get my ass violated.
No, it'd be such a trendsetter.
Yeah.
Even split.
Shit. It's all profit to you.
Risk mine too. What make you think I ain't on paper or some shit?
60-40.
Cool. Give your shit to my boy. He good with it. Then come past tonight.
All right.
And one last item for you, gents.
Okay. Perfect Baltimore accent. Real Jay Landsman is Dennis Mello. Listen to this accent. This is beautiful.
Seriously, no off-duty drinking on the station lot. And if you do find yourself holding the beer can, don't throw it on the roof.
Poetry.
Take it home with you.
Come on, guys. Man, we don't talk that funny down here. I don't know why you say so. Damn.
All right, get out of here.
The rest of you people sound ignorant.
Don't get captured.
Jay was one of the original detectives in the homicide book. He works in Baltimore County now as a supervisor.
Nothing that'll make the papers.
All right, career, career ride the police officer.
The deputy major gets in. If you need me, at the radio. Distribution?
Possession. And some loitering.
Loitering?
And behaving like assholes in the presence of sworn officers, boss.
Which is a charge in Baltimore City now. By the way, the drug war in Baltimore now has degenerated to the point where last month 8,900 citizens were arrested, a third of which were let go immediately upon being deposited by the wagons at Central Booking because there was no probable cause. That's what we've gotten to. So in some ways, the scenes with Carver and Herc were prescient when we filmed them.
Melty just can't leave it be, huh?
No, he can't. Look at that. Going back into our earlier episodes, we should just send him the box set. We should send him the DVDs.
True.
I love these things. I love Colvin. Just, you know, a 30-year man looking at what's happened to his district. I love Robert Wisdom's performance here. It feels like Martin Scorsese. It feels like Bring Out Your Dead. Little scenes like, Marty, we stole your playbook for a minute, okay?
Midnight Relief, coming in.
There's a little subtle reference to Wallace. That's right. If you're watching The Wire, you have to go back and you have to rewatch every episode 5 or 6 or 7 times. There's nothing else to be done but just to buy all the DVDs. Buy one for each and every member of your family and just continue and continue to review.
That's right, because any character could come back at any time.
You can't possibly watch our show.
Even the ones that are dead.
Right. They can come back in photograph form and you don't know who they're looking at. Everything connects. It all matters.
That's right.
We try to teach, and yet they don't understand.
There's another one.
Oh, look.
D'Angelo.
Yeah. You didn't know who that one was if you didn't watch season one. Oh, look, his name. Who is that man? I better go get season one. Several copies, in fact. One for every one of my television sets. We got rained on a little on this episode, didn't we, Nina?
What does that do to your life when it rains?
Well, actually, I think it rained earlier in the evening is what happened, and then stopped raining all of a sudden. But the nice fireman from around the corner came and helped us out with the water truck.
And gave us a wet down?
Yeah, very nice.
Uh-oh. You see? That, man standing,
what the fuck you looking at?
Woman on knees, that is the international symbol for a blowjob.
What, you want to go?
I had trouble explaining that, didn't I? Because originally we filmed the scene.
You did. Somebody wanted the guy sitting down.
Sitting on a stoop. Who would sit on us? And he wanted sitting on the stoop and the woman kneeling over. And we wanted that to be, and we wanted to do it backlit. We really didn't want to show it. We weren't trying to be gratuitous with it. And you couldn't tell what was going on, could you? Because it's not the international symbol. If you were going to put oral sex on a traffic sign, it would have to be guy standing up, woman on knees.
And how could it be the international symbol when you're the only one that understands it?
I'm not the only one that understands oral sex.
Well, that night it was.
Well, apparently, yeah. I couldn't convince them to shoot it. So we had to go back and reshoot that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, extra film.
An old school ass bitch.
And your cutie realizes there's no sense of honor anymore.
No. You just want to get me off that subject, don't you? Somebody has to. Nice try.
No, you know, we're still living with it this season, actually. It never goes away.
This is just a horrific
got
moment.
Spider bags. Two gets you three.
What?
You up? Spider bags. Two gets three.
One male. Date of birth.
You up 10, or you not?
26, 68. Go ahead.
When the enemy is walking up to your vehicle and attempting to thrust drugs through the window, you have lost the drug war. I feel bad for him. I do. He's gonna go do something crazy. I just feel it. Anyway, thanks. Hope we weren't flippant or stupid. We wanted it to sound really smart and dry and witty and urbane. Didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
You know, throw me a bone. Jesus.
A lot of actors in this show.
Yeah. It's a lot of tourists, isn't it? I like our credits this year. We finally got the end credits right, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like it's a show now. And that's called The Fall. That's by Blake Lay. Everyone keeps asking what the end song is and where they can get it. You can't get it. We're not letting you have it. Only we can have it. We go home sometimes and we just listen to the end theme for hours on end.
Over and over.
We laugh because only we have it. All right. We're done.